So that's some exciting stuff.
That's just a glimpse of what we want to do. We want to take the Great Commandment seriously and the Great Commission seriously. And so we want to involve you to be a part of that process. So just be praying over these next 3 weeks, including this week, all the way up until June. That's when Heart Check begins. But again, I want to remind you, as you stop out in the lobby, pick up on the table there one of these, one per family, because we don't have a ton of them, but just kind of check it out, see what's available. If you have any questions, you can sign up to have a conversation. Denny will be out there again this week. And be praying about what would it look like to be involved with Music Fest. That's happening a month from now. We're going to be a safe haven, an oasis, right here in the front of our property to have water and cold refreshments and be able to have a stage concert with music coming out where people can hear hope, healing, and grace and hear God's love. But also, at the same time, being joined in with what the community is doing. Like, we're one of the sponsors for the Music Fest itself, as well as the Carolcade coming up in December. How many have ever been to the Carolcade? Raise your hands, anybody? To be a part of that, like, we want to make an impact. Again, just come alongside and serve them in that capacity. You heard in August, we're making it public now. In August, we're moving our services outdoors every Sunday in August. These services, we'll have one service together right in Hamlin Park. Some of you live right in the village, you know exactly where that is. It's probably at the very center of where we want to be. And we're going to take this experience out to where people at. Bring your shorts, bring your suntans, your sunscreen, bring whatever it looks like. Did I say suntans? You can bring your suntans. But we're just going to have a great time together there. People walking by. Maybe an easier way to invite your friends. Say, hey, bring some hot dogs. Let's cook out after. Whatever that looks like. Just go to where people are at, because that's what Jesus would do. And so that's just a couple things, including the rock. You'll hear more and more as we talk, but we'd love to have your participation in that. Can we pray before we look in God's word? God, thank you so much for Heart Check. Thank you for the reality of the church that we belong to that's so much about loving you and loving others. That this isn't just something we gather on Sunday mornings. It's important, yes, but this is where we are called to be sent out every day of the week. That worship is not just singing, it's our lives. It's putting others before us. It's doing the things of Jesus. It's saying, you first, I'm last. It's seeing your kingdom come in tangible ways for people all over this world, including our next door neighbors. So we pray as we look in your word over the course of these weeks, may it not be about money, may it not be about time, may it not be about possessions, but may it be about you and how you're inviting us to participate with what you are doing already. And so we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's on page 962 if you're using the Bible in the chair in front of you. If you do not have a Bible, the one that's there is yours. You can take that as your own. But page 962, the scriptures will be on the screen in just a second here, but we're going to look at a passage throughout the course of this four-week series, Heart Check, this week and the next three. What Paul has to say to Timothy about what does it mean to advance the gospel is what he says in the introduction of this book. But I want to begin our message this morning by thinking about how blessed we are to live in this country. We live in America, the USA, the land of the free, the home of the brave. And we have the freedom to speech, we have the freedom to gather together to worship. But I want to ask this question, are we free? Are we really free? When I think about this, I think about the concept of the American dream. It sounds great, and the pursuit of whatever you want to do. But it's easy for me, I don't know if you can relate, but it's easy for me to get caught up in the American dream, to be a part of this rat race of trying to get as much as I can and get that next thing, the pursuit of those things, that I end up trying to keep up with the Joneses. Do you know what I'm saying? You ever been there? Yes, we have the freedom to do what we want and acquire and gain and capitalism, but I often get caught up in that. Do you? Too often I'm imprisoned. I put myself in a prison of this kind of this unending cycle of the pursuit to possess that new thing, that thing that I want, that I have to have in my life. And after I pursue that, the cycle begins in which it causes me to spend money that I often don't even have to get that thing I don't necessarily even need, that I want, which causes me to spend more time working to pay for that thing that I don't have money for that I really want. In order to pay for the things that I don't even really need, in an effort to try to impress people, most of which those people I don't even know. And so there's this pursuit, this cycle that continues, this pursuit of more and more and more, and I admit I can easily get caught up in this cycle. And in America, I can easily be entrapped and not feel free in the capitalism that we live in or the American dream concept. Maybe you relate with me. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're in it now where you just say, man, if I just had that one thing, then I would be satisfied. What is that for you? And it doesn't help that we live in this advertised, saturated world where it's jobs of certain people, marketers, to make us feel less than if we don't have that thing. That, oh, once you get this, then you'll be there. Then you've arrived. To quote an old television show, it's actually, man, I feel old now, but a television show about 10, 15 years ago called Mad Men. If you ever saw this on AMC, it was basically a show about people on Madison Avenue, these advertisers, that's how they got Mad Men. Mad Men who their job was to have people buy stuff they didn't need. And it was like this kind of throwback back in the 60s and 70s. And one of the characters actually says this, his name was Don Draper. He said in the show, happiness is the moment before you want more happiness. That's their goal. This is the world we live in. And maybe you can relate with one of these commercials like this.
It is the newest,
even newer. Oh.
Everything else is obsolete.
I just bought this one.
Oh, whoa, wait. Oh, 4D TV? Stupid.
You got the wrong TV, silly head.
The new buyback program. You buy it now, we buy it back when the new thing comes out.
Do you see the cycle? Literally, when you get something, there's something new that just comes out. You ever been there? You feel like you're running this race trying to just keep up because, oh, if I had that, but guess what? That thing will go old. That thing will diminish. There'll be an upgrade. There'll be a better version. And this is the world we live in. So how do we break this unending cycle of wanting more and more? Well, this is what we're going to look at today. Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he gives us the proper perspective that we need concerning our possessions, concerning our stuff. He says this in verse 6 of chapter 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness is one thing. But godliness with contentment, that's incredible. That's great gain. That's something to hold on to. And he continues, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." So the answer to breaking the exhausting, unending cycle of wanting more is contentment. Contentment. Are you content? See, contentment is a state of mind which is completely independent of the possession of external things. Contentment never comes by acquiring more stuff because that'll eventually go away. That feeling will go away. When we're content, we're free to relax. We're free to enjoy what we already have. And contentment gives us margin in our life to be able to focus on other things, more important things, relationships, things that will not diminish in value. The opposite of contentment is an unending desire for more. And it's this never-ending cycle, like I said previously, with no rest, no peace, no enjoyment. Jesus himself, he calls us to a life of contentment. He teaches us how to find true contentment by giving us the proper perspective of how we should relate to our stuff in view of our relationship to God himself. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 33. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. You may know this, so I'm going to read a little different translation. It's from the Message. But he was saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what clothes you have. But again, he says this. He says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, if God takes care of the flowers which you don't even see, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you, do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. So Jesus knew this tension. He addressed it in one of his first ever recorded sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. To the people that day and to the people today, it resonates with us. Contentment means I can enjoy what I have. Contentment means I can relax about what I don't have. Contentment means I can give things away and be generous with joy. Contentment means I can look to God as my provider, knowing that he will provide all my needs. But for many of us today, I don't know about you, but I have a constant temptation to believe that I will never be content until I have fill in the blank. Do you have that? That I can't. Once I get that, then I'll be good. How many times have you said that? For some of you, it may be clothing. For some of you, it might be to cars or toys. You can define what a toy is yourself. Accessories, decorating, improving your home. Is there an end? Is there a limit? From what I see, from what I experience, there is no limit. Once you get that, there's always something else. There's always something else. And for me, if I'm really honest, it's technology. I love technology. It's something that I, from a kid, just having technology around, whether it was something with audiovisual or television or communicating with people, movies, etc. And can I tell you, when I was just out of college, when I had my first paycheck, my first job, knew I was going to be a regular paycheck, it was right about the time, again, I'm dating myself, right about the time when the Sony Trinitron televisions came out, right? It wasn't just the tube TVs. These were like high, it wasn't high definition yet, but it was like high, bad quality TV, right? And you go, and I was looking at these things, I have my paycheck, I'm like, oh my goodness, I wasn't married or anything yet, and kind of a bachelor, and so I ended up getting this way too far expensive TV that I should have had that didn't really have that much more improvement because it wasn't high definition yet. Again, there's that, pursued it, and like a year later, high-definition televisions came out, widescreen came out after that, all these different things. But in that moment, I got this television, and I'm like, well, I need to get the surround sound if I'm going to get the television, so I got that. Well, if I get surround sound, oh, there's this new thing out called TiVo. Do you guys remember TiVo? TiVo was like the first the DVR of the day, which was ridiculously expensive, like $700, and it was just weird. Anyway. But this was like 20 years ago. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be the first one to have this thing. But guess what? I didn't have time to use it because I was so busy working to pay for it that I couldn't even use what I was using. And then the next thing came out the next year anyway. And it was like, what? So I know firsthand what it looks like. Maybe you have experienced something like that. Did you look over your life? And as I've gotten older and being married to an incredibly wise woman, both those combinations have helped me learn about contentment. Contentment is knowing the difference between what is a want versus what is a need. If you can know the difference between what is a want, I want that, versus I need that, that's where you find the beginning of contentment. And so I'm continuing to learn to relax about what it means to be getting the next newest thing. Is that really where I want to spend my time, my energy, my efforts? Or learning more and more about there's more to life than just the stuff we have. But I forget. So I'm consistently learning. So the first thing that we learn from the Apostle Paul is he instructs us in this passage to be content. He says, be content. That's, you want godliness is good, but contentment with godliness, that is the goal. Which leads to Paul's second point, found in 1 Timothy 6:7. He says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. It's pretty clear. I don't need to say much after that, right? But we forget that. I forget that. That Paul's saying, remember, when you were born, you didn't have anything to your name. And when you die, you will have nothing to your name. Those things right now that you treasure the most in your life at this moment, or the things that you desire to get in the next moment, those things will be someone else's someday. That's hard to hear. We can't bring anything in with us. We can't take anything with us when we go. knowing that should change how we view our stuff. Knowing that should view how our relationship to those things. I'm not saying those things are bad. Those things are good. They're neutral. But the problem is we make them something bigger than they are. We make them, in some cases, in some extent, we make them a god, an idol, that our heart longs for those more than anything else. And this is where Paul's saying, wait, don't forget. This is what's best. This is what Jesus was saying. He's saying, don't worry about those things. I'll take care of you, what you need. And so the things that we possess now are simply things. In God's goodness and his graciousness, he provides for us more than we need through our lives. And so in reality, and knowing what I just said, we really don't own anything, if you think about it. That yes, we can work for things and gain things and buy things, but in the end, we can't take it with us, so we're just kind of temporary managers right now. That's a huge concept to consider. Yes, God may give us more, as we are, some of you are better managers of certain things. God says, you're doing well with this, I'm going to give you more and more and more, but don't let it become your God. And use it for my kingdom. Like, that's what it's for. Use it to show people my love and my grace and my mercy. And yes, to live life, to have joy, but don't let it become number one priority in your life. So in reality, we really don't own anything. We are just managers of everything that God generously gives to us, allows us to have. And the key that gives us the freedom to enjoy the things that God gives us is contentment. Contentment makes it easier for us to hold on to things loosely rather than holding on to it, protecting it, and spending our life just making sure that it doesn't break or nothing gets touched. God says, yeah, be good stewards of it, but hold on to it loosely. Don't let it control your life. In fact, the less that you hold on to it, the more I'll even give you in a lot of cases so that you can use it to do greater things for me. So God owns them, we manage them, but our stuff doesn't have to own us. Because can I tell you, there's so many conversations I've had with people where their relationship to their possessions and their stuff, that it's more like their stuff owns them than they own it. Because it drives every aspect of their life rather than the freedom of being able to enjoy it. So listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 6:33. I'm going to say the very end of what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. This is in the NIV this time. But he says, here's the secret. But seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness. And all these other things, what you eat, what you wear, what you drink, all those other things and everything else, they'll be given to you as well. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of the birds, the flowers. Don't you see them? You don't even notice them sometimes. I take care of them. Don't stress. Don't kill yourself over it. And so if you seek God first in everything, he'll enable you to be content and he'll enable you to be generous. Number two, he'll enable you to be generous. This is true of our time, our talents, and our treasure. I'm going to ask you three questions. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your life? Because time is our most precious commodity. You can't get it back once it's gone. You can't earn more, get more. It's what you have, your time. How are you investing your time? Who invested in you with their time? And who is God asking you to invest your time in? Because when you invest your time in someone, it matters. It makes a difference. It changes them, and it changes you. This is one of the reasons why we're so excited to partner with The Rock, to be able to coach, as Becky mentioned in the video, come alongside kids with their education. If you love education or just even being a life coach or a mentor, we'd love to connect you with some people to do that, or to help people train to find a job, to know what it means to just have soft skills of how to relate in an interview and conversation and hospitality, all these different things. We want to come alongside them and do these things. So how do you spend your time? Number two, how can you serve others with your talents and abilities? The very things that God has given you, your passions, your interests, God has given you those to both enjoy your life, but also to make someone else's life better. Here's some examples. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you like to sing or to play, or maybe you just like music overall. Maybe God is asking you to join something where the music is a focus, a theme. Maybe Music Fest would be a great thing for you to get involved with. You can talk to Dom, who's up here, plays guitar, or me. We'd love to connect with you. You can sign up even today at the high top table by the heart check table, as we're just looking for musicians and different people. Or maybe you're an electrician or a carpenter, or you like using your hands, that God wants to use you to volunteer your services, to be a part of helping restore people's lives, to give hope to people who can't do those things. Or maybe you're a baker or a cook and you love to bake, and maybe God's asking you to bake a pie a week and give it away. My favorite pie is apple. But that doesn't mean it has to be me. You can get to anybody else. But God wants to use that talent, that gift, that ability. Or maybe you're a retired teacher. God's asking you, or maybe you're a current teacher, to volunteer at a school or to just help students who need help, whether that's an after-school program or whatnot. What would our community look like if we were generous with our talents and used them to serve others? Not just our time, not just our talents. But what about our treasure? Like the things that God has given us, the resources, but maybe you might be thinking, well, I don't have much extra resources. What about the stuff you already own? Maybe God's asking you to be generous with some of those things, to be able to give to someone else who doesn't have, that you already have, that is a want for you and a need for them. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. What if we took that seriously and we participate with the Holy Spirit as he provides opportunity to give to those in need? Our partnership with The Rock is another great example of that. That'll provide opportunity. That what if we lived our lives not as a warehouse where it's about us, we just store things ourselves, but as a distribution center? That you say, God, would you give so I can give away? Would you give to me so I can give to others? What if we focused on others and not our own selves? And as we learned to be content and generous, Paul has one more truth for us this morning. It's found in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. We're going to jump ahead, and we'll come back next week and kind of fill in the next couple verses there. But it says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Can I say that again? Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, but instead put their hope in God, because wealth is uncertain. God, he's faithful, he's good, he'll provide you with everything that you need for your enjoyment. Now you might be thinking to yourself, that's great, Kevin, but Paul's talking to Timothy, command those who are rich. I'm not rich. Did you know that being rich is relative? You can do a search right now and see how you stand in the world in wealth compared to the rest of the world. If you own, let me say it this way, if you make more than $30,000 a year, you are one of the top 20% wealthiest people in the world. Make more than $30,000 a year. If you own two cars, I'm not saying that to be great brand new cars, but if you own two cars, you're in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world. We're rich. Every single one of us in this room is rich or have access to the things I just mentioned. And so what he's saying in this passage is, look, this is not about money. This is about your heart. This is why we check our hearts. That what if instead of us putting our faith and our trust, which is where I tend to lean, in money and stuff, what if we put it in God, who is so certain and who is faithful to give us what we can enjoy? He knows what we need, not necessarily what we want. So Paul says there's two options: hope in wealth, hope in God. The choice is yours. And it's interesting because I look at the life of Jesus and how Jesus, when he spoke throughout the Gospels, the number one topic that he talked about when he preached was the kingdom of God. He kept saying time and time again, the kingdom of God is like, and he'd often give a parable, because that was what was the most important thing in his mind, what it meant to bring God's kingdom here, the things of God here on earth. Do you know what the second most talked about topic that Jesus spoke about was? Money and possessions. Like, oh man, Kevin, you're talking about money and church again. Like, that's the last place. All you want is our money. We don't want your money. God wants your heart. God knew, and Jesus knew, that when he talked about money, the second most talked about thing, he knew that the leading competitor for our hearts would be our stuff. He knew that they would become the idols that would compete with him. And so that's why Jesus said, hey, this is why I got to talk about it, to protect you, not to have you feel guilt in this place, even this morning, but to give you freedom to know that we were not designed to pursue these things in such a way that we lose focus of everything else. And before we know it, we die, and it goes to somebody else anyway. He says, that's not life. Not to say you can't enjoy it. Those things are neutral. They're not bad in and of themselves, but we make them more than what they are. So Jesus wants us to be free to enjoy. And as followers of Christ, one of the most attractive characteristics of us as followers of Jesus is that we do enjoy what God has given us and to live life to the full, but not at the expense of missing out on all the rest of life. And to live with our hands open to say, God, we acknowledge that you are the one who gives and you're the one who takes away. And we want to be the beneficiaries, the conduits, the distribution centers of our time, our treasure, and our possessions. Because you love us. And we want to love others the same. And so, to be honest, as I wrap up this message, this is not an easy message to write or to even give, because I'm right with you. I'm not perfect. But this is why we do heart check. We remember what's most important. Remember that God's invited us to join him in the mission to tell others about him. And that involves both our time, our treasure. It involves our possessions and who we are, talents. And so as we begin this heart check, let's check our hearts. Let's be praying over these weeks to remember what's most important, because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Let's be people who are content. Let's be content, because God's calling us to be content, to relax about getting, so that we can rest and enjoy and respond to God's generous giving to us. And let's be generous with all that we have, with our time, our money, our possessions, just as God is generous towards us. And let's be hopeful because of God's provision. Let's put our hope in him. You know what's interesting? On our currency, it's almost like people knew when they were making currency, bills or coins, they said, our tendency will be to put our trust in this stuff. So what if we put in God we trust literally on it to remind ourselves every time we touch it? And even still, we overlook it. It's in him that we trust, not our stuff, because he will give us all that we need for our enjoyment. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the power of your word that's relevant today, just as it was the day it was written when Paul passed it on to Timothy to instruct and see the kingdom advancement of the gospel back in that day. We are beneficiaries of that today, and we want to continue that forward. We want to be faithful with what you've given us in our time, in our talents, in our treasures. God, would you help us to know above and beyond our normal tithes and offerings? This is faith building for us to say, God, we trust you. Would you help us know what that looks like with our time, our treasure, our talents, to be a part of your kingdom work here in this community, in the region of Buffalo, and around the world? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.